Fear the Walking Dead, the season 7 premiere is over, as is The Walking Dead World Beyond season 2 episode 3, but we're just getting started talking about all of that here in the zombie apocalypse trenches of post-show recaps. Hello, everybody, it's your Walking Dead fix of the week. I'm Josh Wigler. We are down one Jess Lease. We are up one homicidal maniac Victor Strand. We are back up one Elton. So it's not a total wash this week, even as Jess has to take this one off. We're going to talk about Fear. We're going to talk about World Beyond. We're going to have an incredible time. First, someone who has been so excited for the return of Elton to the World Beyond universe that just got to bring him in real quick. Chappelle, you can talk. You can breathe.
Yes, we did it. I can breathe. He's
the
here.
The manifestation has happened. It's done.
Elton's back. He's got his corduroy armor on. Yes, I almost bought a corduroy outfit for the occasion. Who knew that industrial corduroy could save you from the zombie apocalypse?
It would have been really, really awkward if Chappelle had worn his corduroy suit, considering our next guest. This is not a video medium for most people, but when we record these podcasts, we are on camera. And AJ, you look fantastic. AJ Mass. In your head-to-toe corduroy. I assume that this is protective gear.
I was planning on being silent for the first 9 minutes of the podcast, and you've thrown off my whole vibe here. But, you know, when there's a will, there's a way!
There was a will. Yeah, and he's dead now.
Yeah. So obviously, spoiler warning, we're talking about the Fear the Walking Dead season 7 premiere. We're going to talk about episode 3 of World Beyond. I expect maybe we are going to keep this one a little bit tighter than usual, just because, Chappelle, you were on, you're like, there's not a ton to talk about with Fear of the Walking Dead's return, other than, I don't know, the fact that, like, one of the only, season one characters has just turned into the full on bad guy. That feels like a headline that's worth, taking a beat on.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the episode did. It took a beat on, hey, reminding us that Strand sucks. Uh-huh. Like, last season ended, and it was like, you know who sucks? Strand.
But maybe he also Strand went through, sucks was like sort of like the provocative thinker we were left with.
Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, he tried to kill Morgan in the submarine, but then he had that like moment where the nuclear apocalypse is in front of him. He's watching like his life about to end through that glass window in the tower. And so we kind of see Strand have like a very vulnerable moment. And then they bring us back with this season and say like, yeah, vulnerable, but also evil. Like he still sucks. He's still the guy who tried to kill Morgan and leave him for dead. Yeah. And don't forget it. And so this whole episode was just like giving us the like, in case you didn't hate Strand, now it's okay to hate him.
Yeah, this was like the Victor Strand, Coleman Domingo having a moment is now like going all the way in on just like full mustache twirly villainy of like unambiguous. I'm throwing human beings off of giant tower levels of villainy, AJ, after also, just for the record, having previously tried to kill this guy, what, 3 times, AJ, was the count?
Three times.
4th time's the charm. And then he gets to keep the charm for himself. I thought this was a great episode for proof of concept of the anthology series.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like,
yeah.
You know, because the first, like, you know, 15 minutes, like, we're just watching this guy who we don't know wander around and do his thing and no dialogue and just, you know, go from place to place. And it's like, hey, okay, this anthology show could work. Yeah. Oh, wait, this is Fear? Oh,
Fear has anthology adjacent energy sometimes,
sure,
right?
Sure,
like
sure,
you
sure.
Go into like a new season, the tone is totally different from year to year. The characters may as well be different characters sometimes. And like this definitely, like, I think of the things that the Fear premiere accomplished was like to like really like vault us forward into like the future a little bit and like situate us in what was like the post-nuclear zombie apocalypse world looking like. And I guess like Chappelle, to some degree, like, let's make this character who you normally are supposed to really like into like an unequivocal bad guy is like a pretty fast way of getting us to like, okay, times have changed. Like we're in a totally new situation now.
Yeah. I don't know how much time has passed, though, since the actual explosion, because it seemed like Strand was able to build like this community in this tower in such a short amount of time. I think Will said he was out there for 50 days, but there's no way that you establish like solar energy and a garden and all this other stuff. Like, he had yoga, hot yoga, like in the building as well. Like, there's no way he did that in 50 days. So I was curious if you had any idea of how long it took for us to get to this point where Strand has broken bad completely.
AJ, what do you think?
Well, I mean, he was outside for 50 days. Before that, he was in Alicia's little commune there, which probably was there for a couple months. So,
yeah,
definitely they're going to gloss over the time. After all, you know, they can all fall into a river and we never find out how they got out. So,
right.
You know, that's what this show does.
We've been here before. Like, this has definitely happened. The big difference is, like, now we're here with, like, a nuclear ravaged wasteland.
And now we've basically put Alicia Devon Carey back in the 100.
Since right. we got to wear masks again, like, in the world of The Walking Dead 2 on top of everything, right? He got like this whole sequence with this kid, Will, who is sort of like the hero of the episode, which I thought was kind of clever. I didn't think that he would just get thrown off the building after all of that by the end of this episode.
Not only that, I you know, I'm watching it and first I'm like, do we know him? Who is this? And so I looked him up on IMDb. And when you go into IMDb and look at his name in the cast, I realized I did know him because he was in one episode of Evil that season. So I was like, oh, yeah, he's the guy. Okay. But I looked and it said Gus Halper, Will, 16 episodes.
Yeah, that's great.
Oh.
And now if you look, it says Gus Halper, Will, 1 episode. So they did not spoil the ending on IMDb, and I give them points for that.
They deserve props for that, Chappelle.
Yeah, and he deserved to die. Because I've been saying this for a long time. You can't let somebody who tries to kill you multiple times, like, come back to life because, oh, wait, we both love Alicia. What Strand says at the end of the episode is so true. Like, it's not the, like, people and the zombies that's out here killing you. It's your attachment to these irrational thoughts and processes, to this love idea that you have in the zombie apocalypse. Like, you are that in love to where you let somebody who tried to kill you 3 times join forces with you. Are you fucking kidding? I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, like, that's all right. Sometimes like, it's spicy.
It was one of those things where I was like, after the second time, I was like, all right, you gotta get rid of Strand here. And he didn't. And he's like, Strand, that's number 3. Like, why are you counting it to us? You're the one about to die.
Yeah.
So, and his whole thesis, well, you must really care about Alicia. What did Alicia do to you, sir? Like, oh my gosh, Alicia, like, she worked a number on Will, because he's just like, I guess I can just die for the idea that both of us have this connection to her. Are you kidding me? So, yeah, he had to go. It was time.
That was the whole thing, right? Like, that was the whole reason that Alicia was left behind in the bunker. I guess, like, so we should do some, like, quick setup. Let's say, hypothetically, you wander into this podcast and you rely on the podcast to tell you what's happening on the show. Just as a theoretical thought exercise.
Rarely it happens. But okay.
Let's play that out. Let's just play out that line real quick. That season 6 of Fear the Walking Dead had like built to this point where there is the cultist, like the death cultist, and like John Dory Sr. has been tracking him down his whole career. And now his whole plan is he's going to unleash holy nuclear Armageddon on the world and start everything all over. And that basically does, at least to a degree, happen, right? Like, there is a nuclear assault. We're now living in the wreckage of it. The characters are kind of scattered. Morgan is where? Morgan is with Grace, right? Morgan
still
is
at the
Grace.
Boat, yeah.
They're still together. They're together. They've found the baby, right?
They found the baby and survived by ducking, which I saw the last 5 minutes of the show before the episode premiered and I got angry all over again.
That's where they are. And then obviously like Strand like had kind of like heel turned a little. He like threw Morgan at the zombies at one point and tried to be like, just trying to make it tough. That didn't quite fly. Clearly this episode is really dealing with Strand. But like this episode is also dealing with the legacy of Alicia, who is the last Clark standing and has been for a while now. In addition to Strand, the only other main character who has been on Fear the Walking Dead since the first season of the whole show. And she was completely absent of the finale, right? If I'm remembering that correctly, that they literally locked her way, threw away the key. And these incredibly rude people who are making this show decided, Alicia Debnam Carey, we don't need you for this one. The unmitigated gall, as one might say. Clearly something happened because she was in this bunker place, and she was left in the bunker place specifically like someone's going to need to like build the new civilization from the ashes, and it should be used. Like, this is the idea of like this horrible, terrible person. But maybe now we are living in a world where some of that has happened. We don't know exactly how much time has passed in the show, it seems like, but enough time that like Strand looks like Colonel Mustard. I don't know.
Oh my
like,
gosh.
He's got
Why is he dressed like that? Why is he dressed like that?
Yeah.
You have unlimited resources and you decide to dress like that. Because I say unlimited because
that's where my Cub Scouts uniform wound up when we shipped it out in the mail. Like, he looks amazing.
Yeah. He woke up that day knowing that he was not leaving that tower and put that outfit on. For no reason.
Yeah.
What do you want to wear today, little
Victor? A t-shirt. Put on a shirt. Yeah.
I want to put on my Scouts uniform.
Right.
You sure, like, you don't want to try a button?
A regular.
No, I want my Scout shirt and my hat.
He's got a whole bunch of followers up there doing yoga and playing putt-putt golf.
Enough time has passed. They have like yoga. We cannot confirm or deny Chappelle, but maybe they have hot yoga.
I thought it was hot yoga. I saw like canvases people were painting, the garden, the solar energy panels.
Yeah.
What is that?
They got them.
Why?
How? I don't know. To combat climate change.
Right, like, yeah, climate change from the nuclear war that just happened outside. Yeah, like, excuse me? This is wild. How did they even go? You know what? I don't need to know how. The episode is about how it's about where we are now, and Strand has completely heel-turned. He's the devil. And it's obvious because he's drinking, like, whiskey. And like passing out scotch to people. He has a chandelier for no reason. He's serving spaghetti on the plate with like the little covering. Like, it's like everything that villains do, he's doing it.
He's eating, AJ, he's eating little strawberries. And when he eats them, he comments to the onlooker who is hungrily eyeing these strawberries. He goes, fresh. Like full Disney villain is where we've gone with like obviously cartoon like character. You know the grossness that comes par for the course with zombie fiction, but otherwise like sort of like the cartoonification of Strand as a villain is sort
absolutely.
Of
absolutely
like
he invites Will up there and he's like, let me show you on a grand tour of everything that you can't have because I'm kicking you out.
Right.
Bye.
I got a bad vibe from you, so I think you need to go back out into the wasteland.
Yeah.
But it was fun meeting you. Like, who is this? Like, why did he become this way? That's why I wanted to know how long this took, because like he has a sidekick. Like, he legit has a butler. Like a number two. And I don't understand why number two isn't like 1A. Yeah. Why aren't him and Strand equal like partners in this? It seems like Strand is like the emperor, and this is like his right hand man or his lady in waiting.
Howard.
I don't get it.
Howard is his name. And he is played by Omid Abtahi, who is a great actor, like great character actor in a lot of different things. So like, I'm psyched to see him here. Like, that's fun. Join the party. That's great. But like, I want to say, like, I think like it's gotten like it feels very mustache twirly, the Strand stuff, but like, I have to tell you that I kind of think I loved it. I have to be like a little bit honest and think that like we're in like a different mode of zombie apocalypse right now. Like, adding like sort of like the nuclear waste
apocalypse
style, like
two apocalypses. Apocalypse?
What happens with, is it a double apocalypse? Like,
apocalypses.
You know, it's an apocalypse.
It's a apocalypse.
Yeah.
Two apocalypse.
We've got two apocalypse. Like, this is intense. And like, I feel like that, like, that's a fun playground to mess around in a little bit. And I do think like a lot of it's going to depend on like how much time did pass. Like, they have to tell us like when they finally like nail that down for us in a very specific way, AJ, if they say like it's been 6 months. Nope. Not good enough. This has to be years. And the thing that this really has an opportunity to do is to Because Fear the Walking Dead had been ahead of mainline Walking Dead for a minute. And then in season 9 of mainline Walking Dead, they have their big, big time jump, which puts them far into the future beyond Fear the Walking Dead. But at the same time, I believe, is Walking Dead World Beyond, if that's not confusing enough. But I think that this nuclear apocalypse could rocket us a little bit into the future and get us so that, like, The Morgan will meet and the Strand we just met and all of these people are like palling around or the opposite of that, as it were, at the same time that like season 11 of Walking Dead is roughly playing out, World Beyond is roughly playing out.
And the thing that will tell us is how old is this child who Morgan has with him?
Yes, that's the clock.
Yeah,
That's our
if it's
watch.
Still an infant. Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. And that doesn't make any sense. But Josh, when you saying this is like a Disney villain, first of all, I love that too. I was on record saying that Pope last week when he went full Disney villain, I was here for it. It was wild. But I liked it. But this is very Disney-esque in that the villain is in a tower surrounded by basically a moat of walkers with an apocalyptic wasteland in front of them. And you, of course, you know, like the hero's journey, you have to make it through the thing. You have to, you know, get through the moat. You have to climb the tower. Yeah. You have to fight the bad guys on the way up before you get to the final boss. Like, I think the setup is right there. It's just weird that it's Strand. And so
totally.
One of the questions I had is they talked about the not the strippers, the stalkers. Yeah, the stalkers that are walking around stripping the walkers of their clothes. Yes. And that's not Strand. So I'm thinking what I don't want is that the strippers. I'm sorry, the stalkers.
I don't know what else you want to call them. Yeah.
Yeah. The stalkers. I don't want the storyline where, you know, Strand is evil, but we win him back over because we all have to combine forces to get the stalkers out of here. Like they're the Reapers or whatever. Yeah. Like what I want is those stalkers to team up with Alicia and crew and Morgan to take out Strand. I don't want Strand to come back. Yes. Strand can never come back from this villain edit. And I'm so sick of The Walking Dead giving us super villains and then making them like pets or good guys or yes. like, you know, villains with a heart of gold. Strand doesn't have one of those.
Don't turn Strand into Negan. Let Strand be exactly. Strand. And like if your answer to let Strand be Strand is to like lean in all the way like past the con man stuff, we've been ping ponging mm-hmm. with Strand for a while now in the same way that we've done that with Morgan a bunch of like, I'm going to kill. I don't think I'm going to kill people. I think I might kill people. Like Strand's like, I think I'm a good guy, but maybe I'll just shoot Daniel in the face.
Right.
It's just Daniel, you know, like, it's just Daniel. I'm so sorry. And I'm really trying to, and how dare you not trust me for having shot you? No, actually, I am going to lord over everything from a tower and be a bad guy now. Like, just stay there. Let him be the bad guy now. That's what you did. That's what the show put him into. And when I say I'm here for it, I'm really here for it because Coleman Domingo rocks. And
he's
this
awesome.
Dude is just incredible, and I'm loving his moment right now, and I really want him to like just be able to play Strand full tilt bad guy, because that's where we've gone, so just commit to it. And I think the other thing that I'm like kind of happy about is like this like then like theoretically probably should put like an expiration date on the character to a certain mm-hmm. extent. Like Coleman Domingo, collect the checks, it's coming, you know, you're like you'll be free soon, like we're gonna kill Strand, like Strand is not gonna be able to survive this stuff, like he's been set up as the new big bad, like there's no real plausible way I think to bring him back without repeating Negan, to your point, Chappelle, and that would be such a bummer. I think like let's power down with like a really strong bad guy arc for Strand. That's a cool opportunity that we've got to do that with a character who we've known since the very beginning. But we can't like walk off that ledge. We got to jump off the ledge with Will and Strand.
Yeah, the only way that he does survive this season is if he wins at the end of the season. If he kills Alicia, you know, and say, and you know, finally saying, stop collecting the checks here, Alicia, do something else.
I guess they'd be happy for Alicia Debnam Carey. Yeah. Then, you know, like I'll find someone to be happy for.
Exactly. Yeah. But I think if he, you know, if he saves the day and, you know, he can be the big bad again next season and get defeated, that's fine with me as well. I'm just very happy. Like you said, I'm happy they committed to it, because even in this episode, there were a couple moments where I was like, I will. Mm-hmm. I heard what you said and I realized, yes, perhaps I was mistaken, and I didn't come out here for that. I came out here to find Alicia, and I'm not the... No, he is bad. He didn't care when his two bodyguards bit the bullet. He just worried about himself. And I was like, yeah, you go, Strand. Just worry about you. You can get new henchmen. They didn't pull back after making that switch. And I love the fact that it was surprising because they just, you know, they spent the whole episode saying, and here's your new character who's going to be a love interest for Alicia towards the end. Well, he's done. Yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah, but that does bring me to two things I don't want. I don't want to have to listen to Alicia talk about Will all season. Like, oh my gosh, what happened to Will? I'm looking for Will, searching for Will. Oh my gosh, Alicia, please. We do not care about Will that much. So we don't want to see you care about Will that much. Like, I'd rather Alicia be like, Will who? You know, like that would be great. If Alicia like, this is a guy on hit list. I don't know him.
And Strand could really be beneficial in that, going, yes, I thought you might have been here, and I went there and I found a note to somebody named Will. I found the note, but obviously Will had never come to get this note.
Exactly. And then with Strand, you know, they did leave this one opening that I don't want them to explore, and his whole motivation is cartoony as well, right? His thing is, I need to find Alicia to let her know that, like, she's wrong, like, I'm right, like, this is me. I am correct. Like, and that is my win condition here. Like, what are you saying?
Yeah.
What exactly has propelled this turn into the devil that he has had? Because it doesn't sound like he have any real motivation. He's just like, I know they'll never get to me in my ivory tower that I look down upon everybody. And if I ever see Alicia again, you know, she's going to know that she was wrong about me. Like, what's happening here?
Yeah, the worst part about Strand being in the tower for me is that, like, we're in a little bit of a double-edged sword situation with that. First of all, I love Strand's new sword. I love that he's really committed to, like, the general sword is my zombie apocalypse weapon. It's like, oh, that's a strong choice. Like, I do think that's good. And then, like, the axe sometimes, like, the double, like, he's doing, like,
it's
the,
so,
like,
flashy.
Two-handed fighting style is cool. The double-edged sword is that, like, we want to take him seriously as a bad guy in terms of, like, as a character right now. So, like, I think he really ought to very, very sparingly leave the tower for the time being. But the problem with that is, like, well, you're going to lock up Coleman Domingo and not have him interact with the cast. So, like, I hope that means that, like, we'll, like, see more people maybe brought to the tower, or the people who are already in the tower are going to be, you know, compelling new characters. We already have Howard. Like, can we, like, flesh that world out a little bit more? You know, like, what's going to be, like the Jabba's palace situation here? Like, who's already in the tower that's undercover? Like, Lando at Jabba's palace or Princess Leia going undercover? Sorry, just recklessly spoiling Return of the Jedi right now. huge salacious crumb stands on this podcast that I think, like, those are maybe some solutions, because, like, if he leaves the tower, he's doing the thing he's saying, like, they'll never catch me, but they'll catch you if you go, so don't go. I want to take you seriously as a bad guy, so, like, stick to your guns a bit as well.
And I think he learned that lesson, because he's, you know, he came back to the tower, he's like, whoa, I'm not doing that. In fact, hey, zombies, come on in. Now they'll never get to me. Like, I like the fact that he learned that lesson, or at least, until the writers give him that amnesia from learning that lesson. Worked for me.
Yeah.
So AJ, what brings everyone else to the tower, though, right? Like, if Strand is not leaving, right? He's got his moat of zombies around him. He's, like, he doesn't have any reason to go out there unless it's just to find Alicia out of pure boredom, it seems. What brings Alicia or Morgan? Is it because somebody inside the tower is going to leave out? Or, like, what is going to be the driving force that brings the group of people that we're used to make this journey to go get Strand? Because they have no reason to pursue Strand either.
I think you're going to have, you know, we're going to probably hop around to all the different groups for the first couple of episodes and see, oh, what happened to Morgan? Ah, what happened to, blah, 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 bounce.
Almost definitely. We had a great feedback in that regard from Andrew Yu. Andrew Yu wrote in and said, I wondered if this season of Fears, it could have a lot of flashbacks. Maybe we see how Strand went from watching the nuke to becoming yet another in a long line of crazy leaders of destined to fail societies. Also mentions, Andrew Yu does, that Will was listed as part of the cast all season, but even I'm not foolish enough to think he survived that fall. Yeah, he didn't survive that fall, unless the actor is being paid to be a zombie all season long, which would be a fun job. So yeah, I think there's a very strong possibility that we're getting a bunch of flashback episodes.
Yeah, but yeah. You know, I think he's going to stay up in his tower for the most part. He doesn't need to leave. He can take three episodes off and, you know, come back. I think he is at some point going to get so megalomaniac that somebody's going to leave. Somebody's mm-hmm. going to go, not come back from a scout mission, encounter the great Morgan Jones, and, you know, da, 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 da. Hey, no, there's this guy up there. Yeah, Strand. You know,
da, right. Da, da, da. Yeah. Right.
Oh, so it's the butler. What's his name, Josh? The,
Howard.
The second in command, Howard.
Yeah.
He's round Howard,
but not round.
Yeah. So Howard is going to look at Strand and be like, oh, he's lost it. You know, this Alicia thing has pushed him over the edge. Now that he knows she's out there, like, he's a completely different person. He doesn't even serve a spaghetti on this platter anymore. You know, so now I have to go out and go find her because maybe she can bring him back to, like, the Morgan that I knew X amount of years before, you know, we created the hot yoga. So maybe that's what it is. But I couldn't figure it out for life. Me, I'm like, well, yeah, he seems to be minding his own business. They're minding their own business. Do you think it has anything to do with Padre?
Yeah, let's talk about Padre. That is the name that is written down in the note that's been left behind. It just says Padre. This is like the new red rum. you know, like this is like the mystery of Rosebud. Padre, right? Like,
not Rosebud.
Why are we tracking such classic bits of literature? This is
Padre
the
was
key from the first episode last season. It's the guy that drives the whole thing. They don't even know when they start writing what this means. They'll figure it out around episode 7.
That's the trick. And like, I think like that's fine. You know, give it to him. Like, that's like how like, I'm under deadline right now. What should the letter say? Padre, we'll figure that out. You know, like, that's fine. Like, go. Yeah.
It's just like,
everyone should be getting paid. Like, that's your job.
I'm sure they're in the writer's room. Like, so, well, how did they build all this stuff so quickly? Just put in the line. We were lucky. The wind blew the other way. All right, fine. It's done.
Well, as the local, you know, the Texan, I will say Padre is a place in Texas. South Padre Island is like basically Mexico, and Texas is like a thing. I've never been there because it's pretty much one way on and one way off, and that's a lot of traffic for spring break, and so I've gone other places. But it is a place. So I know that
one way on, one way off.
Well, they were far from
the apocalypse.
Yeah, and they had the subway. I mean, a submarine. I'm sorry. And so, like, they aren't far from water. So maybe it's like a location.
Yeah, so
I don't know
where they are.
Yeah, maybe. Like, that was like the message for like where we're heading. You know, who knows? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I don't know.
It's a classic like zombie fiction thing to like retreat to the island, like, and not even zombie fiction, but like when you're like, you know, like, what would I do? Like, I'll find a desert island, you know, like, I feel like it's sort of like a thing that people like, you know, will bat back and forth. So for The Walking Dead to like have taken this long to like really do that storyline, if that's where they want to go, you know, I heard Fiji was nice this time of year, but I'll do Padre Island. Sounds great.
But they did it season one. Isn't that how we met Strand? Wasn't it like on the yacht?
I forgot. I guess they already did this. Never mind.
Yeah, that's Strand's bag. He likes
Never mind. Just end it. Just call it. just close it. Just close the book.
Like, I guess Padre could be a person. I guess it could be a person. I mean, I don't know.
I like that poll. No, I think that would make some sense. I guess it would depend on like where in Texas they all are, right? Because like, you tell me, Chappelle. I hear Texas is a big place.
It's huge. Yeah. And the coastline is huge as well, but there was a submarine. So, I mean, there's only one area you're going to find a submarine. It's just all going to be on that, like, eastern side, you know?
Yeah.
But, but like, it goes all the way down. Like, Texas is huge. So, it's miles and miles and miles. So, I think I never knew where they were in the last season, right? I never knew, like, geographically. I just knew it was by the water. So I assumed Galveston, and Padre is much more south than that. But I mean, you're in the zombie apocalypse, you have nothing to do but walk. And so they could be there. Who knows?
Yeah, I think knowing the show from like a production standpoint, you know, they film in Texas. They film, I believe, in Austin, like imagining them sort of like giving up sort of where they've been grounded for the last several seasons. Like, the show used to hop around a bunch, like they were set up in L.A., then they filmed in Mexico, like they moved around. But like we've been like, even if the story has been shifting a bit, like we've been like generally in like the Austin area as far as like a production I don't know that they'll like, are they going to give that up? Like, will they do something that's like a little more like ocean bound? I think it could be cool, but I like the pull a lot. Like, I think that makes a lot of sense that like, she's telling him like, this is where I went, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
You know, something like that could make sense.
Yeah. I mean, that was the first thing that popped in my head, but that's because I live here, right?
Yeah, so no, that's the expertise, man. That's great. I love that. I think that's great. Yeah. I just was looking at the name of this episode and I misread it as The Bacon.
Same.
And I am thinking about that now. I'm looking at the episode titles for the first half of Fear of the Walking Dead season 7. Next week is called 6 hours, which is on post show recaps. We call that a quarter of a worst day ever. and episode 3, I'm so excited for this. It's called Cindy Hawkins. Who is that going to be?
Who the heck is Cindy Hawkins?
Who is Cindy Hawkins?
Is that related to Sadie?
Like, is this the dance? Does she ask you to come to the zombie apocalypse? Cindy Hawkins, AJ, any predictions?
Well, I don't necessarily want to go into spoiler territory from...
I mean, do you want to... I mean, can we talk about it, AJ? You could give us some...
I mean, all I know is that I watched Talking Dead because I was too slow to change the channel and I saw Elton was going to be on. So, of course, I wanted to see what Nicholas Cantu had to say.
Did he talk about it in the show?
Aisha Tyler was sitting next to him because she had directed the first episode, the last night's episode, episode 3. Of the season for World Beyond, and she is joining the cast of Fear the Walking Dead, so perhaps...
Is she Cindy Hawkins?
I don't know, but she's joining the cast, they said, so...
That's
Hawkins, a female name.
If Cindy Hawkins isn't some kind of post-apocalypse like little Brady Bunch kid, I'm gonna be so mad. Like, that's what I want. I want like a little Brady kid, Cindy Hawkins, I think.
Okay,
careful what you wish for with the kids.
Yeah. Okay. So since we're kind of in spoiler territory, let's talk about it a little bit. I did look up, just typed in the word to see what it was going on. Right. And they talk about the episode JD that we really liked from, Fear the Walking Dead. Was it episode 6 of the 13th season?
Yeah.
And they said Cindy Hawkins comes up in that newspaper clipping that was talking about Teddy's conviction. And so there's going to be like callbacks to that episode. I don't know if...
Oh, so it's a John Dory joint, probably.
Yeah, it's something to do with that, with Teddy. So we'll probably talk about that in the future. I won't read it all off of here in case it is full of spoilers. But it looks like it's going to be connected to that.
Okay. I'm interested. I did want to read this as well, because I thought this was very funny. From Karen from Los Angeles, who wrote in and said, I hope that Jess is semi-satisfied that someone finally used the walkers to do some dirty work. They may not have had them in perpetual motion machines, but at least they got them to transport something heavy. I'm sure Jess would have been thrilled about that on the podcast. But Karen then also said, I liked Fear this week. That is, until you guys podcast about it, make me hate it and say that it's full of shit. I just laughed so hard when I saw that email come through. So thanks for writing in, Karen. Anyone who wants to write in, twd@postshowrecaps.com is the email address. But I do just like want to, before we move into World Beyond, I had a fun time watching Fear the Walking Dead, you know?
I liked Fear. Yeah, I like this episode.
But I enjoyed it.
I thought they did a nice job of sticking to their guns and going with Strand full bad guy. And
we gotta stay there. We gotta be locked in that zone.
That's my fear.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I see that.
Fear of the Walking Dead. Very good.
Yeah. Also, we got acid rain. Acid rain in the zombie apocalypse? Like, that happened.
No, in the nuclear apocalypse.
Yeah.
In both. In the apocalypses.
Yeah,
like, that happened. I wasn't ready. Like, it started to rain. I'm thinking, oh, it's raining, darn. And they're like, no, get out of the rain. No, don't touch the water. I was like, oh, okay. This is a new level of zombie apocalypse. I was not ready for it, but I appreciate it.
Okay, let's talk about... The prodigal son returns, Chappelle. He's back! This is me doing my big, like, Kermit hands. Yay! Yes. You know, just like, so happy. Oh my God, little Elton, welcome back to the Walking Dead World Beyond.
back and in full effect. Elton had armor on. The corduroy saved Elton's life. Like, what else can you say? I thought we were seconds away from Elton having an axe for an arm. Like, I really thought they were about to shove that axe into his stub after they chopped it off.
Yeah.
And he wasn't going to have an arm anymore because the zombies bit him. But when it said, like, oh, no, the corduroy saved him, like, that's a plot device nobody could have been ready for. I know y'all weren't watching that thinking, well, luckily he has a corduroy on, so he'll be fine. Tell me y'all at least thought, no, okay, there's a possibility he got bit.
Obviously, I wasn't thinking that, but that's because I'm not on Elton's level of realizing that the corduroy isn't just a bold fashion piece. It is armor out here.
I never considered that he was playing that 3D level chess and getting that in advance. But I will say, as soon as he got bitten, I was like, oh, the corduroy is going to save him. But it was in that moment of the bite because I'm like, they're not going to touch Elton.
Yeah. Right, they can't do it. I just thought his hand was going to have an axe on it. I just knew Spiky Ballhand 2.0 was coming. And luckily, the corduroy, who could have, I mean, these writers, I give them a hard time, but you just, I mean, I was dying laughing. I thought that was the funniest thing in the world.
It could have come organically, too, like during season one where they're walking around, he's going, you know, you couldn't actually bite through this. Like, they probably thought of it as he was wearing it and going, well, this is actually tough fabric. I actually like it. It makes sense why I would be wearing this. And let's put it in the script.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
So we've got Elton and Percy are back, and what's more is we've got Elton and Percy basically reunited with the whole Iris and Felix and Will contingent as well. So, like, that's good. You know, condense more characters together. We like that. Like, let's not be so spread out. Let's pick up a rogue Silas while we're at it. Storm the CRM and let's call this a day, guys. We're so close, right? Gang's almost back together. We should be able to do this one pretty tidily.
No, I feel like the gang is getting too big now. Like, you know, because how many children are on this show? Like, we got the main core group of kids. Then we have Asha and Dev, who they just found on this episode, who look like they're going to be around for a little bit because we haven't killed any children yet.
Yeah, I gotta say, I don't love what they're doing. Like the little, like the little Jello ball eyeball scooping stuff. Don't love this.
I don't know what that's about. I thought I wasn't ready for that.
I didn't like seeing the eyeballs. I didn't care.
Just plop them out, you know. But they have so many kids,
and I didn't understand. I got so confused during that whole thing because they opened the show with you know somebody putting the flowers in the eyes, and you don't know who it is, and then they get tripped up. Elton and Percy get tripped up by these zombies that are coming out of the marsh and everything. I'm like, oh. They're luring zombies. Like I didn't understand that the whole purpose of that whole thing. It just made no sense.
It doesn't seem like there was a purpose because they asked even like, oh, so is that why you put like, is the flower like representative of the way you feel about these zombies? Cause they think that they're vessels. And she's like, no, I just like it. I just like to do that sometimes. When I'm bored.
Collecting the eyeballs.
Right.
One of these Walking Dead shows had fresh strawberries and then the other had like fake eyeballs that you get that are actually grapes at a Halloween party.
I'm just a quirky girl and I'm going to be your girlfriend. Maybe.
Yeah. We got that a lot too. And then, we still have the group from Holes with Silas. Yeah. Like, so he got his group and now we got Hope in her group with Ian and whoever that kid is that she's keep making eyeballs at, like that guy, they're out there drinking and stuff in the bunker. I was like, what are we doing? Why are we assembling a child army? Because if they ever get all 15 of these kids in one space, I'm going to lose it.
Yeah, it's going to happen, you know, probably episodes from now. I mean, we've got a lot of shows still left to go, but not a lot of shows still left to go at the same time. But I was glad that at the very least, like we took the time to like mostly spend the episode with Elton and Percy. It was a little bit frustrating maybe at a certain point when I realized that when the show makes us realize, I guess, AJ, that like they'd been like they'd had their number like the whole time, that like they weren't being stealthy. They were exactly who they were looking for the whole way through. So I don't like anyone outsmarting Elton. That's when I think like we're like now we're overwriting this a little bit. like Elton's got a superpower. He's the clever one. You don't outthink Elton. So like why are we like having him be like sort of outthought? But I loved when he was like, Percy, don't you steal those turnips. I'm going in there. Hi, hello. Just like here for some, just a radish or two. Do you have anyone with you? Yes, my traveling companion Percy. He's just up the hill. Like, you know, he's such a polite young man.
Yeah, no, I think what makes it work is that it is a kind of meet cute, and it does put her on an even level with him. Like, you know, you can fool everybody else, Elton. You're not going to fool me. So I am worthy of this relationship that we're starting to hint at here between the two of us, because, you know, I've already gotten you out of your clothes once and I'm going to do it again at some point.
Oh my gosh. These kids. Yeah. And also Elton was a little hangry, you know, like the food. Yes. He says, listen, I haven't eaten in a while, so I know the smart thing would to do this, but I'm going to do this anyway, cause I haven't eaten. At least he's in on the joke, right? At least we're not all like, wouldn't Elton know that this is a bad idea? Like, no, he said right. It was a bad idea. He still did it. And I think I like that about the world beyond this episode, because there was another moment where Asha's throwing an axe at him and Elton screams like, holy crap, it's just a turnip. Like, damn, are you gonna throw an axe at me because of turnips? You know, I'm like, yes, Elton, that's exactly what I was thinking. Like, they're doing a lot behind you stealing a few turnips.
And then, like, in hindsight, why are you throwing an axe at a guy you're trying to bring in for frenzies? Like, this is feels like an aggressive tact to take.
Throwing axes with such skill. Like, yeah. Can we talk about it, it is a very hip thing
to do right now, you know?
Yeah, they're rules for that. Yeah, well, look, these kids were highly skilled in combat, because the kicks and the leg sweeps and the axe throwing, I was like, who trained Asha and Dev? What is their background? Because they're like,
clearly the artist.
Exactly. The perimeter, yeah, where they train all the best people in combat. It didn't make sense.
That was when they had the axe exhibit installation a few years back. So, like, they did all get, like, really good at axe work, I think, is something that occurred during that time.
And then, of course, we get the Iris and Percy connection, when I was thinking, like, oh, she looks like she really missed him. Oh, she might be in love with him. And I thought, well, why is she in love with him? They barely know each other. And I was like, oh, yeah, they did try to have sex that one time.
Yeah,
they did try that. I forgot about the kids trying to, like, consummate whatever this was.
They're still trying to figure it out, you know?
Yeah, I forgot all about that until I saw her, like, reaction to him being alive. And I was like, oh, I forgot about it. Oh, it's kids. It's children. Yeah.
But it is interesting, because you see the chemistry that's building between Elton and his new beau. But there's no chemistry there between Percy and Iris at all. It's like,
I don't feel it.
She flipped the switch, thank goodness, because it's an excuse for him to go, you know, you've changed. You're not the Ash I knew.
Uh-huh.
And, oh, now look,
fall in love with her,
there's the woman who shot me.
Yeah.
He's going to try and take him down with a butter knife. This butter knife he's got. This was also from Andrew, who wrote and said, Percy can't even steal turnip. We're supposed to believe he can threaten Huck with a dull ass knife. Like, what's he doing at the end of the episode? Just like going and looking with his like knife in his hand. Like, what are you going to do with that, Percy?
Nothing.
I think we could be looking at a Percy death, not in the terribly distant future. Like, he also might make a move and like that might not work out.
So you think one of the kids will die?
He's the most expendable of the kids, not counting like the new ones that were just introduced.
Yeah, because I was like, Dev is definitely expendable. Like, Dev has nothing. Like, at least we know something about Asha, and we know that she kind of likes Elton a little bit.
Right.
We just know Dev's name, and so I can see Dev being lost. And then maybe some of those kids at the the science kids, they can go too.
Yeah. The ones who are at the CRM, or the ones who are
they can go. No, the CRM. No, I like the whole diggers. They can go too, but I like them.
Yeah. Well, they're my fun group. Silas can't do all of that heavy lifting himself. He does need some friends.
I like him having a gang. I like that.
It did kind of feel, AJ, like Elton and Percy show back up after their little road trip and, like, you know, meeting these people on the journey. And like Iris is so happy to see them. There is not really much to, you know, much ado about Silas. Like, there isn't really, and Silas too, is he with you? They're like, no, they don't even really talk about it.
Yeah, but because
I'm so glad Silas isn't here to see that, because he's so upset about the preferential treatment Percy is getting.
The only thing that I would be upset about that, except we know that there's an end to getting Silas, because we had the very blatant, I'm going to talk about Silas, but not mention his name to you, because then you'd know who I was talking about, scene between the unrequited love for whatever it is that that guy did to force
Dennis and Huck. You know? Yeah. And we don't, and they don't even tell us, right? Like, the whole episode, they're like, you know what you did. Yeah, well, I did it for you. Well, I did it for us. It's like, what happened? I want to know what happened. Like, please tell me, because at this point, what? Because I'm still trying to figure out. I'm sure the actress that plays Huck is a lovely lady.
Yeah.
But I just don't
get it. Annette Mahendru.
Right. But I just don't get it in this show. Like, she's not funny, not charming. She doesn't seem very nice.
You and
like,
Huck never got along, Chappelle.
We just like, never.
You never clicked.
Yeah, because I've always saw her.
This is like, even before Huck. She turned traitor.
It's because we knew she was a traitor the whole time. Yeah. But like, but this, the guy, Dennis, is just as bad. This is the most boring couple on television since Jim and Pam. Like, they just, they have nothing. They just like stare at each other. There's nothing there. I'm like, why are y'all even like each other? What happened? What did he do? Because he did something.
Dennis.
That
Dennis,
guy.
Thank you. Dennis, I couldn't even remember his name because it was Dennis.
He's
boring.
So boring. He's so boring.
Yeah. He was, you know, he's in charge of digging the holes, and Dennis directed his people to dig up holes in Mr. Wilson's yard, and so he got in big trouble.
Yes.
So they threw him out here. What did Dennis do, and why do we care? It is a fair question as we are trying to close this story, not continue it. You know, like,
I think
be careful about the characters that we're adding and the asks of us, the audience, to care.
Like, I think they're saying, you know,
it's a little bit of a request.
Part of what I was reading, trying to read between the lines there, whatever he did is essentially, I think, led to what happened with the campus community getting killed.
So this guy has hundreds of thousands of dead people on his hands.
I think that whatever he did started a chain reaction of things. That I think that's where we hook it back into the main story. I think that's the only thing, because otherwise, who cares?
But see, he got demoted and got sent off to go like be the manager of the boys' camp. But like Huck, it seemed like she was getting like dishonorably discharged or something. Like she had to like do this task and brave all of this, you know, and go and get the kids and survive this and get Hope back safely. And then they just gave her a reprieve. Like they, like on this episode, they show her like, okay, you get your honors, you get, you know, we get like a full pardon for you. I'm like, what did Huck do? Because Dennis, it seems like he's taking the blame for it, but Huck seems like she's the problem.
Yeah. But she's royalty.
Yeah, I mean,
she's not getting in trouble for anything.
I mean, to have to go do this journey on foot, that is trouble. You know, like she had to go and make sure these kids made it alive. Remember when they, what was the burning tires? Remember when they crossed that
blaze of glory? Yeah.
You just don't send your daughter into the blaze of glory. I actually think she skipped that episode, honestly. Yeah, that's the episode she was missing. But
she had the tunnel access.
Yeah, but you know, like it's just so weird to me that like he's apologizing for what he did, but she's the one who just had to like complete this impossible task to get her honor back. And so I'm really interested in what this story is and what was so important that both of these two people seem like they're being punished all the time.
Yeah, I'm curious about this as well, to a degree. I'm curious about it from the standpoint of in the next 7 episodes, because that's all they've got, will I care? I don't know what that is, because I think I would have answered no, I won't care to this same question at like this point in season 1 of World Beyond. And then by the end of it, it's like, hey, you guys lay off Elton. Hey, like Silas, get back here. Bring him back. Like, I want to see it's a short commitment. I want to see everybody get out of this one safely if we can. But like then that means that like my tolerance for the new people is pretty minimal.
What I think is encouraging is that, you know, if we're talking about a full 16 episodes for them to wrap this up, there's all these chess piece moving episodes. Like here it's just like, all right, let's get done. Get them together. Next episode, get the rest of them together. Boom, let's move. We don't have time for multiple chess piece episodes here. We got to get everyone together. Now, 3 episodes in, most of them are together. So it's yeah. really nice. And we know where everybody is. We know where they're relationship to each other. It's just like one more thing to domino to fall. Then Silas will join the group. And then
that'll be within the next couple, I think. Yeah,
battle lines drawn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Battle.
But what is the battle? Like, you know, what is the reason we're
take down the CRM, man?
But you can't take down the CRM.
It is like, I think like the stakes are like, you know, the zombie apocalypse version of like, this is my house. I have to defend it. Like Kevin McAllister versus like the wet or sticky bandits, you know, depending on your preference. That like, I think like, you know, like we got to bust out Hope, you know, and then we'll go on the run and like, we'll expose them. You know, like some versions of those things will be what happens. But how does that resolve?
Right.
Like, and the thing is, you know, and I know that they can't win, but they're kids. They don't know they can't win. Yeah. And I like mm-hmm. the fact that it's this youthful naivete. Like we're going to take down the whole CRM. Like, no, guys, you really aren't.
Good children. Stop it.
Yeah.
You might get Julia Ormond fired. Or
maybe that's the goal. Yeah. Maybe we find out that Julia Ormond has gone rogue, right? And she's like mad with power. And so nobody knew about these moves that she was making. And she's been completely like, I make these decisions because nobody else is willing to do the things that I'm willing to do. You know, you want me on that wall. Yes. You need me on that wall. Like maybe they're just like, usurp her. And now that Hope's dad can step into the role as the head of this, they can keep the science stuff going. They get spring breaks, apparently they get 2 weeks vacation to go visit their parents in Portland, you know, so maybe it's just her that they have to usurp, because there's no way they take down this entire organization, because it's built on science. Like, it's built on finding a way to stop this, so taking down an organization does not help you.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Chappelle makes a ton of sense to me, because I think, like, that being where we're going, like, keeps the show's arc rooted in the characters that are here. And also, like, it sticks to that, like, idea that we've been talking about a bit, that, like, you know, we're in like one of the outer, we're not in the center ring of hell, right? Like, we're not in like the middle of the orbit of whatever the post-apocalypse like governmental structure is. Like, the CRM stuff that we're seeing here is going to be like, you know, three steps removed from like the more important thing that will be like three Rick Grimes movies away. So never. So like, to expect like anything less, I think we're really setting ourselves up. But like, if what we're doing is like basically like, she's a fraud and we can prove it, you know, like that sort of that feels like achievable, feels like something that will be like narratively satisfying for these specific characters, if not so much like, I'm a Walking Dead franchise fan and I demand answers in the Walking Dead world beyond. Like, if that's your expectation, I think you're gonna be disappointed. But if like your expectation is like these people rising up against Julia Ormond specifically, like rising up against Huck, you know, like these kinds of things, like this is, or like the crazy doctor, the sandwich doctor, like these are the things that that they can like put their hands on and actually fight against. That's what we'll
it's what you expect from a drama that is led by children in this universe. If it's a high school drama, you have to make sure the principal gets fired and the mean PTA mom gets her comeuppance, and that's the victory.
Yeah,
exactly. And then I guess we only have a few more episodes, because remember, isn't Jadis coming? Like, don't we get garbage later?
Yeah,
like, what is Jadis, the thing that roots this in the rest of the universe, right? Like, Jadis comes and like, and we get one character to go do the crossover, right? Like, maybe Felix goes with Jadis, and now we have Felix in the proper. I think Felix would be the only character, honestly, that I would even care to see in Walking Dead proper.
Yeah.
Maybe Will, you know, but like, what? I mean, Jadis, we know Jadis is coming. So mm-hmm. We just don't know to do what. And so it's kind of like, after they do the, oh, we've usurped the power structure, or, you know, whoever's at the top. And Jadis comes and like, okay, well, come with me if you want to live, you know, and then they go on to do whatever. I don't know. We have like, we only have a few more episodes. I think that's the issue. Like, we're on a time crunch.
She has to show up and tell us about the very brave man, you know, the story of the very brave man.
Oh my gosh.
Kevin. It is amazing still to me that like, with all respect to Pollyanna McIntosh, who seems fabulous and like in other things, really, really great. But like Jadis being like, that'll be the one we shall have walk through the doors of all these different shows. Like, that will be satisfying to people. It's just like that's, I feel like we're a little off the pulse at that point. Yep, she's coming. We'll see. That could be next week. I don't think I've got much else on this one unless either of you do. Next week is called Family is a Four-Letter Word.
Mm.
Which okay. letters are we talking about here,
folks? Iris. Hope.
Yeah. Hope, Iris. Oh, gosh. Yeah, all of them.
Wow, Elton and Silas don't count. Neither does Percy. Are they not family?
The way
they're the five-letter family. This is a four-letter family.
Wow.
Yeah.
Will is a four-letter word.
Will is a four-letter word. Yeah. Okay.
Julia Ormond is not, unfortunately. No.
Not in English.
No. The only other thing I have is watching these two back-to-back episodes, and every commercial break, it seemed, was either... an ad from Come Visit Virginia, which is where we filmed the show, The World Beyond. And that was the whole hook. Like, come see the places where your favorite show is your favorite show, World Beyond. Then come to Virginia because we film here. I was like, wow, tours and commercials are really reaching. And every other commercial was a teaser trailer for the next 8 episodes of Walking Dead proper. And
yes.
Oh my goodness, I don't need that. We have 2 hours of Walking Dead franchise here. I'm not gonna forget the originals coming back at the point.
What if you
wait till we're closer? Wait till we're closer.
We gotta be careful here.
Yeah, you could forget. I mean, we basically forgot to mention that we still have not seen Madison Clark.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you never know.
I'll start revving that theory engine up again, Chappelle, once we start seeing signage in the apocalypses saying madre.
Right.
Once people are running around saying madre, then I'm gonna really be out here stumping from a girl Madison Clark.
Did we ever see Travis after he fell out of the helicopter?
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah. I just had to bring that up because I think Josh made that prediction and then disappeared from here last time.
That's effectively what happened. I was like,
Madison Clark is coming. And then months later we're like, Josh, remember that time you said? He's like, okay, maybe she's not coming. That.
Yeah, get me out of here.
Seriously, before we end, are we getting Madison Clark back?
No, not at this point.
We let it go.
I mean, I'll keep Hope alive if you want me to. Like, I can, like, I'll find a way.
Final episode of Fear the Walking Dead this season, and in walks Jadis.
Could be good.
Yeah. Jadis is like, sorry, Madison Clark's dead. And we're like, oh, no. Jadis
as the Agent Coulson of The Walking Dead. It's such a surprise to me, but all right.
So good.
We can do that. All right, that's Walking Dead for this week. Fear is back. World Beyond continues. I think fun weeks of both of them. Excited to have everything back here. And thank you, everybody who wrote in. Again, we would love that for that to be you, TWD. At postshowrecaps.com. That's TWD as in The Walking Dead at postshowrecaps.com. Chappelle, what do you got going on? Nothing but Netflix. What's up?
Yeah, nothing but Netflix. We just dropped the most recent episode, The Great British Bake Off. And that was a journey. Justice for Maggie. She deserved better.
Yeah.
And not the Maggie from The Walking Dead, but definitely the Maggie from Great British Bake Off. So we talked about that. Rob and I with our guests Kirk Clark and Haley Strong. They are our like pros. We asked about Emily Fox, but I think you were traveling.
Yeah, we were away for the last little while. Otherwise, I'm sure she would have had thoughts. We just actually watched the episode that you all covered. Just I think like at this point, what, like 2 hours ago. So she wouldn't have even been current on, but we're watching the season having a blast. And I haven't listened to the podcast yet because I was late on the episode, but that panel is amazing. And I imagine the time that was had was delightful.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It was a good time. And so that was
first
fun.
Exposure to GBBO, or have you been hooked?
First exposure period. And, I think I might be here for a while. I think you might've gotten me with one, but that was fun. And so this week, I believe we're still trying to figure out what we're going to watch, but I think the front runner is you. Netflix is you, yeah. not you, Josh, and not you, AJ.
I mean, my only path to being it's like some true crime thing has happened. So let's hope that's
So I think we're leading toward that. But again, if something comes up, then we might pivot. You never know. I'm also still covering Never Have I Ever on Silent Podcast. Sasha Joseph and I are two episodes in. Yep, we're chugging along. And so we're going to be dropping episode 2 of season 2 very soon. And so you can check that out. I'll also be on the Shit 90 Show's Top Me podcast talking about Boy Meets World.
Yeah.
Because Eric Matthews is a shallow boy and we need to talk about it. Because that's my favorite episode of television of all time. And I know it by heart. And I'm dying to talk about it with Jess and Sarah Ferguson. And then I think this weekend I'm also doing a online reality game to benefit one of our good friend Maggie Morgan's friends. She's a cancer survivor, and so in order to pay for her treatments and stuff, they're going to raise money. And by having this ORG that is basically like Big Brother, but like online, and I've never done anything like this before, and I'm completely like terrified that I'm going to suck and let people down. But it's to raise.
Doesn't matter if it's for, you know, people will have fun like participating, watching, and if it's for a good cause, that's amazing. So
exactly,
comes off a bit, yeah,
yeah. So it's Team Molly. We're definitely doing this for Molly on October 23rd, all day, from what it seems. And we will be like taking Venmo donations, and it'll be streamed on Twitch. So if you're listening, go check that out or check me out on Twitter. I'll tweet out the link. My Twitter is @Chappelle's_show. Other than that, I think that's all the podcasts I'm doing this week. But if you want to, you know, keep up with me, just follow me on Twitter and, you know, stay tapped in, and I'll make sure you keep updated on any other changes or any additional podcasts I do in the near future with post show recaps.
You won't miss a thing if you follow Chappelle. AJ, the guests, are they still being beaten?
They are severely with
with reeds.
With reeds. No, Reed is on. It's on the Criminal Minds recap. Uh-huh.
Yeah, right.
Felonious Pundits. Yeah, Beat My Guest Trivia Podcast. Felonious Pundits Criminal Minds Podcast. I don't need to waste your time saying that every week. That's what I'm going to say. And if you want to join the party and help us profile those episodes of Criminal Minds, you can join me and Kentad Svensgaard on Felonious Pundits. And we're going to get you guys on. We're going to get you guys on Beat My Guest at some point.
I'm down. I'm ready. We just need
to
set up the schedule, but I'm very happy about that. That's going to be great. Tons happening on post-show recaps. Succession returned to HBO this week. We had a really fun opening salvo recapping the premiere of Succession, confusingly titled Secession. And so that was really fun with Grace Leader and Dr. Amanda filling in for Jess Sterling. A really great recap that if you like that show, I recommend you check it out. I think we've got a really good plan for tackling this one all season long. So if you're locked in on that show, we've got you covered. So many other things going on. You can just find all the things that are happening. Search post show recaps on your podcatcher. You'll see all the cool things that we are cooking up. And hey, it's still October. It's still that birthday month here for the Post Show Recaps Patreon anniversary. If you want to say hi, let us know you're out there, even if it's just $1 a month, honestly, just to be like, yeah, I'm here. Stop talking about it, aka also keep talking about it, and I want to know more because now I'm signing up to be a patron. You can do that. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps. It literally makes it possible for us to do podcasts in a very real, tangible way. Keeps those strawberries fresh, as it were. So consider it. We would love to get that support from you if you feel we have earned it. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Next week, Fear the Walking Dead resumes 6 hours, not the length of the podcast, the name of the episode. And family is a 4-letter word. So some amalgamation, some version of the Walking Dead panel will be here next week to cover it. Until then, everybody, take care. Bye-bye.
Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program makes earning your bachelor's in nursing possible. Balance online coursework with local in-person clinicals to position yourself for potential leadership opportunities in the time you have from wherever you are, leaving room for what matters. Achieve your goals with your personalized plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.